Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
He's gone from suck to blow.
What?
All right, let's talk about the teams that we cover the most, the teams that we watch as a community the most. And there's two in this community. In Denver, Colorado, there are the Rockies and there are the Denver Broncos. Rockies, do yourself a favor and learn a lesson. Bud Black, watch what happened last year. Look back to what happened last year in regards to Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph didn't make a move. Vance Joseph let an offensive coordinator continue to go down the road with too many plays, 300 plays reportedly in that playbook, 300 plays on his play chart every single week with young players. And guess what happened? It went on and on and on and on until you had 8 losses in a row and you finally made a move by firing your offensive coordinator. My thing for you is, don't go down that same road. Do not stay the course. This is the part of the season where you've got to be able to look at yourself honestly, assess what's going on, and know that it's not going to fix itself, that you're going to have to intervene, that you're going to have to fix it. That means making some drastic moves. That means taking John Gray and saying, right now, you profile as a back of the bullpen guy more than you do a starter. We're moving you now, and we're going to just, I mean, consequences be damned. This is the way we're going to go about this. They have got to make a move. It is no longer time for you to sit back and rest. Sit back and think that it's going to fix itself. It's not going to fix itself. You have to fix it. Learn from the Broncos' mistakes last year and don't repeat the same mistakes. Make the changes that are going to be required for you to be competitive in the NL West, because if you don't make changes now, you're going to be on the outside looking in come August and September. That's what I say you've got to go do. So get your spikes in the dirt.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It sounds good, okay? Urgency. Feel that sense of urgency, but the baseball mentality is, Mark, there's 162 of these.
Right.
It's not like football where there's only 16. So you can't bring a football mindset to baseball. That's what old school baseball people tell you. It's probably what Bud Black would tell you. Bud Black would say, I can't coach. I can't manage like this is football.
Okay, but all right,
this thing has to play out. You got to let it breathe a little bit. You gotta trust these guys. You gotta trust what they've done over the course of their career, and you gotta believe that they'll come back to the mean.
We see this happen all the time where guys have a really bad year or an off year, and then all of a sudden, we saw it with that Ottavino last year. Right? Ottavino last year struggled. He wasn't great last year. He's been unhittable this year. So it wasn't like all of a sudden last year. He fixed his stuff in the off season. He fixed release points. He worked, tirelessly in the off season. He's been absolutely unhittable. So I don't know during the season it's going to fix itself when it's in your head, when you're constantly searching, you're constantly looking for something. I don't know that just fixes itself. When is it time? I would ask you. When is it time to say, okay, we've got to take action? When is that the time?
Baseball people will tell you. I guarantee you this is the conversation that they're having over there. Is like, look, let's not panic, okay? We've been in a tough slump, but even though we've been in a tough slump, we're only 5 games out of first place, okay? When it comes to the, you never even too early to start looking at the wild card standings. Wild card standings, they're 4.5. So we are one good winning stretch of winning 8 out of 10, 9 out of 13 away from being right back into this. So the last thing we're going to do is take this grand plan that we put together during the offseason, including all this money that we spent on relievers, and we're just going to blow it up? Nope. Not in the middle of June, we're not. Not when we're only a handful of games out of first place. There's too much time left. That's the baseball way of thinking, which sounds awesome until you get to September 27th, and you look up and you're like, oops, we've been eliminated.
Well, I mean, if you continue to get five innings out of your starter and you can't bridge the gap to Ottavino because he's the stopper and you have no way to bridge the gap to him, so you've got to go through six, seven, you know, you got to go through six and seven. So, I mean, you're just not going to, you'll be looking at down 10 within 2 weeks. That five games behind first place will be 10 games behind first place by the time you hit July. And then at that point, all of a sudden, are you going to become a seller?
I'm telling you, they haven't arrived at that point yet.
Well,
they haven't arrived there yet. I know you want to take a football mentality to this because you're a football guy. I'm telling you, the baseball mentality is they're not going to panic yet.
I get it. I mean, I get it, but again, I just don't know, Mike. I honestly don't know what you're going to do. I mean, I don't know, like, where you are right now. I mean, let's face it. Bettis, and he pitched really well the other day after giving up five in the first inning, but you're, you know, consistently getting five or top six. Tyler Anderson's pitched well. Freeland has pitched well. Dunn is on the DL right now. So, I mean, that, you know, it is what it is. John Gray is getting you four or five with six runs every time he goes out, five innings. It's not going to work.
Let me give you an example of why what I'm saying is the way that it's going to be here for a while. Is the way they're using Brian Shaw. You or I and everybody else out there listening wouldn't go near this guy. We'd create some kind of fake injury just to get him on the disabled list so he could clear his head. And then, oh, you know, you've been out for a while. You got to go down to the minors, have a rehab assignment or two. Mm-hmm. All with the idea of getting this guy away from what's happening to him right now. And yet, what do the Rockies keep doing? He pitched on June 5th. He pitched on June 7th. He pitched on June 9th. He pitched on June 12th. He pitched on June 16th. Mm-hmm. He pitched on June 17th. Why? Because they're paying him money and because he does have, in the past, a proven track record, and the baseball mentality is he'll eventually come back to that.
Right.
So keep sending him out there. You or I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
People listening wouldn't do that. They'd be like, this guy's toxic. Don't put him out there.
Yeah, well, Brian Shaw
baseball, they think differently.
Well, I mean, but you look at this bullpen. Brian Shaw has a 7.08 ERA. Sensatella has a 6.23 ERA. Chris Russon has a 7.45 ERA. Brooks Pounders has a 7.90 ERA. Jake McGee, where's Jake McGee at? 5.26 ERA. I mean, like, you tell me how you get to Adam Ottavino. Like, you tell me, because Adam Ottavino right now has just had a phenomenal season. He's got a 0.89 ERA. 30 innings, 48 strikeouts, a 66 whip, 0.66 whip. I mean, he has been phenomenal. He has been outlandishly good. And then obviously Wade Davis was awful yesterday. He's sitting at a 4.55 ERA. So I don't know, man, there just comes a time. I understand. And, you know, I've had this conversation many times. I've had it with my son. Dad, you don't get it. This is baseball. Leave your football stuff behind. Blah, 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 blah. But there comes a time where you gotta have a little bit of a football mind. And to me, it needs to be now. If you don't do something here to rectify what's going on, I'm telling you, by first week of July, you're going to be 10 down, 8 down. You're coming home. You haven't played well at home.
Going into the spring season, I threw the gauntlet down for Paxton Lynch. Did he answer? I'll give you the answer coming up next.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But the biggest thing is you just got to, you know, keep your head down and keep working and know what you're capable of and know your abilities, be confident in your abilities and, you know, continue to be confident in yourself so those guys can be confident in you, because
You know, that's the thing about the NFL. You never know when you're going to get your chance to, go over and go out and take over. And, that's what I'm working for, and that's what I'm going to be prepared for.
Paxton Lynch. Mark, before the spring season, the OTAs and mini camps began, I said, the thing about Paxton Lynch is you will know by June 14th, by the end of the Broncos mini camp, whether it's even worth bringing him back for training camp. Because unless you've seen some evidence that things have changed somehow with him, why do you think it's all of a sudden going to click in during the 6 weeks that they're gone? So my idea was, you will know by the end of the OTA minicamp season whether or not Paxton Lynch was worth taking another look. I think he did enough. I think he passed that test, and now it's on to the next one.
What is it about? Why?
First of all, going by what we had a chance to see out there, and that is that right now the competition between him and Chad Kelly for the backup spot isn't really close. Okay, he looked better. Okay, he looked better, and there's also an element of just watching how he's going about his business. He seems a little bit more sure of himself. There seems to be a better understanding there. And also just listening to him sounds a little different. Look, I'm not saying, okay, now the guy's set to become the future of the Denver Broncos at quarterback if Case Keenum doesn't work out. What I am saying is he did enough during the last month or so to at least warrant more of a look.
What's the biggest reason he's going to be here?
Paxton's tall.
No.
Well, we know the reasons why. they're already still paying him.
They're paying him. That's the biggest reason. I mean, it's like you always say with Tom Brady. The reason he's skipping, voluntary workouts, and the reason in which he's never done is because he wants a new contract. And it comes down to money, and the Broncos are not immune to this. Some Broncos cut, T.J. Ward, because the biggest reason was because, you could sit there and say, well, Justin Simmons played really well and T.J. Ward had some injury issues, but the biggest reason is they didn't want to pay him the $5 million. And Paxton Lynch, they've already paid him. He's already gotten his signing bonus, and, you've got the fifth-year option on the guy. And so, he's not going anywhere. And you're hoping that, you're hoping that some miracle occurs and that he gets his, act together. I mean, that's what you're looking for. But, it's kind of where Paxton Lynch is right now. So, did he improve? Has he made, maybe the pressure is off. He knows he's not going to have a chance to compete for that starting job. So maybe it was one of those things where he like all of a sudden excelled and said, okay, now I can actually learn my craft without having to go out there and perform. And maybe that's a better place for him. Hey, there are some guys, Mike. There are some guys, we talk about confidence, and you heard the soundbite about confidence. There are some guys that don't want to play. There are some guys that would much rather be backups. There are some guys that understand their weaknesses. And you can make a very good living being a backup in this league for a very long time and hope that you never actually have to get in.
Well, right now he does look like he'll be the backup, but how does he feel about the possibility of being a starter at some point?
I think there's always room for improvement. I obviously believe that I can go out and play right now, but that's not my job right now. And Case is the guy, and I'm doing everything I can to make the team better and make myself better. So obviously I'm confident in what I can do and confident in my abilities. So I'm hanging my hat on that, and I'm going to be ready.
No, it's not obvious. You can sit there and say it all day long that it's obvious. You can, try to convince yourself, false bravado, and, it's obvious. Last time I saw you, you were crying on a sideline. So, to me, it's not obvious. I don't think to anybody in Broncos country it's obvious. I'm sure it's not obvious to you, Mike, but, so you're on a big time prove it mode for anybody here who has watched you play up to this point.
We are in the middle of June right now.
Yes.
And you still believe they should bring in a veteran?
Well, they did. They brought in another veteran.
The thing I like the most about Case is he's got big balls.
Right. No, I don't know. Now, I mean, that ship is, like, they didn't do it the last 2 years. And I think, you know, I mean, hindsight being 2020, I think I was 100% right. And they needed a veteran. And, you know, I don't think there's any arguing that, but it doesn't matter anymore. They got themselves a veteran quarterback. You need one. Yeah, to me, you need one veteran quarterback. And then, you know, you can develop guys behind him. But, no, I don't think they need.
But how can you say that you are a team that believes that you can compete and then are prepared to leave yourself so thin at the backup position? Because you and I, we talk about Case Keenum and what he might be able to do this year. And we're like, and we just kind of toss it out there casually. Well, here are the stats that we think he can accumulate based on him playing, you know, 14 to 16 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're already building in the idea that, you know, he might miss a game or two.
Right.
Injury, you know, possibility, something like that. So if you're a team that believes that you're competitive, how do you leave yourself so thin at a position that you might have to turn to for two or three games?
Right.
I don't get that. There are so many teams in this league that by their words and by their actions indicate that they're in it to win it, and then they leave themselves so thin at the backup position.
Yeah.
And you would think after what the Eagles did,
right,
that teams will look at it and say, "Oof, well, we better make sure we've got somebody that we can feel pretty good to turn to."
Yeah, you know, it is a great point. Let's face it. You know, if the Eagles' backup quarterback was Paxton Lynch, they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl last year.
Absolutely.
The fact that it was Nick Foles, and now there are a lot of people, you know, saying that Nick Foles, I mean, obviously he was ready to quit football, and Andy Reid brought him back, and, you know, he had this resurgence. He needed a year of football rehab, but you bring up a great point. Are you convinced if you get an injury? Now, here's the other thing. It's not like there's, you know, a cavalcade of great quarterbacks hanging around just waiting, you know, for their opportunities. Mark Sanchez is on a suspension right now. He's out there. And maybe you figure after 4 weeks, if you need a guy like Mark Sanchez after he comes off his performance-enhancing drug suspension, you know, you'll have a few of those guys out there. But, you know, it'll take a while to get up to speed. I think you bring up a good point. If you're really in this thing to win it, can you trust on what you've seen with Paxton Lynch?
I don't know.
And maybe it's one of those situations. Let's see. Let's get a couple of weeks deep into camp and see if we need to make a move.
Okay. More on that as we move along. Four down territory is coming up. And at this moment, this morning, Bronco fan can completely relate with Detroit Lion fan. We'll tell you why coming up next.
And he's loose!
This is four down territory.
Madden is on the field. He wants to know if it's real. They said yes. Get your big butt out of here.
I'm going on to Cincinnati.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You want to lose? I throw, you catch. It's not that hard, okay? All right, get the out of here.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. What does that end look like? Is that 43? Is that 45?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as I'm still loving it.
As long as you're loving it, you're going
to
do it.
Yes. Yeah, so, as long as I'm loving the training and the preparation, willing to make the commitment.
And if I get a new contract... Come on. Do you really think that a guy, that's Tom Brady with Oprah, by the way, do you really think a guy, Mark, who for the last couple of years has been saying, I do it better than anybody else, I've got the answers to the test, I eat my I avoid nightshade vegetables and eat avocado ice cream, that I can play until I'm in my mid-40s, all of a sudden now at 40 is like, yeah, I probably only have a year or two left. Something else is in play here, and I think it's a contract.
See, I don't think it's a contract. I think he can go to his dad, Robert Kraft, and get a contract right now. I think it's Giselle. I think Giselle.
You think Giselle?
Yeah, I think Giselle.
What card is Giselle playing?
The stay home with me and let me, you know, let me and you raise our kids together. I want you healthy. You know, the concussion thing she came up with a couple years ago. I think she's putting a lot of pressure on Tom Brady.
You don't think she was putting pressure on him before when he was saying he could play?
Excuse me, my husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time, you know?
That was Giselle after that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So what changed when just a year ago at this time he was saying he could play in those mid-40s? Come on, don't you look at all the dysfunction and all the stuff and all the tension that seems to exist there with the Patriots and think that this is more related to that than it is Giselle putting pressure on him?
Oh, I think there's a combination, but I think here's the deal. I think for the first time, because of all those things that you said, for the first time Tom Brady took a step back. I didn't go to the voluntary camps. I didn't do all this stuff. And he actually saw life outside of football for a minute and was like, you know, this ain't all bad right here. And Giselle said, I told you so.
Excuse me, my husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time, you know?
I've heard Giselle speak. I never thought I heard Rosie Perez, but I guess I must have missed that. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Do your job and quit making up.
Oh man, you'd think that Matt Patricia would have learned after watching all of these former Belichick assistants become head coaches and try to copy what Belichick did, and then it not working. You'd think he'd strike out on his own, but no! That do your job motto has made its way to Detroit, and when Detroit players go into the complex, one of the first signs they see is do your job.
Right. I mean, listen, that's a great mantra, and I think it's kind of a mantra that everybody adheres to. But again, here's the biggest issue. And I don't have a problem with do your job. The problem is it's become synonymous with the New England Patriots. And what do we always say about becoming a head coach? You have to be your own man. Like, players can read you like a book. And if you're trying to be somebody you're not, that's when it'll backfire on you. And if you're trying to be little Belichick, guys are going to read through it and they're going to be like, oh Lord, here we go again. And you're just going to, you know, you're not going to have success. It'll be really interesting to see if he's able to be himself. And, you know, he can carry the mantra if he can be himself, but if you're trying to be Belichick, you're going to fail miserably.
I mean, there is something to the idea. I'm sure Vance Joseph and Bronco coaches tell their players, you know, just, you know, do your job, you know.
Right.
Here's your assignment, do it. Don't worry about anybody else, just do your job. But, you know, it's such a theme, you know, like just blaring headline type theme with these Patriot guys from McDaniels to now Patricia.
Right.
Trying to emulate man.
All you got to say is, Bill. You don't have to say, dude, it's just execute.
Right.
Like, you put a sign up that says execute, right? It says it's the same thing, but it's not Belichickian.
Right. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Hey, Browns. You are a factory of sadness!
No, maybe not. Monmouth Park in New Jersey, as they're now doing some sports betting, they have set their odds for the NFL. The Cleveland Browns have better Super Bowl odds than the Bengals, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Buccaneers, the Colts, the Jets, the Cardinals, and Washington.
Really?
Mark, is it time to start looking at the Cleveland Browns as a team on the rise?
Well, you're funny.
Wait a minute. Better than Washington.
Yep.
So Washington got Alex Smith who mm-hmm. constantly takes his teams to the playoffs. The Browns haven't sniffed the playoffs in Lord only knows when. And you're saying that Tyrod Taylor-led Browns, who will eventually give in to Baker Mayfield, have a better chance of going to the playoffs than the Skins, led by Alex Smith.
See, this is why I told you the Broncos should have drafted Mayfield.
That's just, but no. That's dumb.
No.
That's, okay, D-Mac. But that's just stupid. I like, those odds, is that, like, how do you get those odds? Is that just wishful thinking?
You know what? Come on, the Browns, they've been awful. They've been awful for a long time. But it can't continue forever. At some point, they are going to improve. They are going to turn this around. They have a bunch of draft picks that they've had, high draft picks. I put it this way, if I was buying stock in NFL teams, I think I'd take a flyer on the Browns and their future.
Would you?
Hey, if I had told you that, you know, 3-4 years ago that Jacksonville would be in the AFC Championship game,
right,
a play or two away from going to the Super Bowl, you'd have laughed at me. I'm telling you, I think that there could be sort of a Jaguar type resurgence here for the Browns over the next few years. Yeah,
will it be with Hugh Jackson, their current head coach, or will it be with a different head coach?
It probably will be for the next guy. Yes.
All right.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be an exciting team this year. A lot of new faces. And I think that's what you're going to find is you're going to find out a lot of new guys that we have on this team within this organization that can make plays. So, you know, just plan on surprising a lot of people.
Dak Prescott is upbeat about the idea of the Cowboys having an exciting offense. Do you see that? No Dez Bryant, no Jason Witten. Could losing those two mainstay Cowboys in the long run end up being good for the Cowboys?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think Dez Bryant over the last couple of years has hurt them. And so Jason Witten's going to be a tough loss because Jason Witten, although he's not outrunning anybody, that guy understood the game. He understood football. He always could find his way open. He was a go-to guy, not only in the Romo days, but also in the Dak Prescott day. So I think that one hurts them. But you know, if they're healthy up front and they run the ball like they have the capability of running the ball, and you know, Zeke Elliott can keep himself out of trouble, they'll open up that play action. They'll have opportunity. I don't think there's any question about that.
All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL, do that for you each and every morning at 7:30. Our Bronco and Rocky insider Troy Rank will join us. Got a lot of ground to cover with him. His top two or three observations coming out of the Broncos spring practices. And what, if anything, can the Rockies do to rebound after their most horrific loss of the season? That's coming up next. Here we go. Let's welcome in our Broncos, Denver 7 Broncos and Rockies insider, the one and only Troy Rank. Morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good, Troy. We're doing really good, man. What are you expecting? I know I've talked to you about this before, both on air and off air, but like the biggest differences you've seen in Vance Joseph over this spring compared to last spring, and what does he need to do? Because he was very coy about, you know, what he's learned about himself and all these things. But what do you think is the biggest thing that he's got to take from last year's experience and change it going forward to this year?
Well, I mean, I know he's done self-evaluation like any player would. I mean, you look back at the season and you put together your, you know, if you want to get better, you put together your worst moments, not highlight films, kind of analyze, what do I need to get better at? Obviously, the game got fast on him on game day. I mean, the idea that they were having great practices became a subject of ridicule. And I think they were, but whatever, it wasn't translated on game day. And so what do I think he learned from that is, you know, more authoritative with his own coaches, clearly. And I saw some of that, even though it wasn't, you know, May and June. But he brought in coaches that are challenging players. These coaches weren't here when they won Super Bowls. So it gives these coaches a bit of a fresh start and, you know, a team that's been humbled. So coaching his coaches is big. And this is how, you know, I want it done. I want it done this way. I think the communication between he and his assistant coaches will be better. The players like Vance. That's not the issue. But again, that's part of the problem. They like Vance, but he's got to find out where that line is of, yeah, I like you guys. You know, I care for you, but there's lines you can't cross. You know, it's business. personally, I like you, but there's business. And I think that's what he's got to learn from last year, both with his coaches and players, is, you know, we want to get along, but ultimately it's a results-oriented business. So what would he learn from that? I just think more authoritative. It's his name on the masthead. He feels like he's more in control in that regard. So we'll see, though. It's how it translates on game day is kind of his report card, because I felt like they were organized at times last year during the week, and I'm not being sarcastic about that. It's just game day got way too fast on them and the entire coaching staff.
Where is your level of optimism based on what we saw and heard this spring, that this is an offense that will be improved enough to the point where I always thought their magic number was 24, that if they could get to 24 points, that along with their defense, that would be enough to win the majority of football games. Where is your level of optimism that this is an offense that can get to that level?
Oof, I don't know about 24. I mean, they averaged 18 points a game last year. So, I mean, to go from 18 to 24 would be remarkable. And if they did, they'd be a playoff team. I mean, there's no, for me, if they got to that number. They have to get to 21 for me to be in the hunt. And I think that's certainly a realistic number with Case Keenum, with the added weapons of, you know, Hamilton, Sutton, Jake Butt. The running back room is a little more diverse than it was a year ago, and it at least looks like they're going to employ it that way, as opposed to how they did it last year. But the level of optimism for me, Mike, starts with quarterback. Case Keenum was one of the better quarterbacks last year. He was basically kind of 10th best quarterback in the league in that discussion, you know, 8 to 12. If he plays like that, they're going to be hanging around. You know, you and I have talked about it, Mike, that if he keeps his interceptions under 10 and gets that 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, they should be a playoff team or right there, you know, right at that 9-7, 10-6 mark. If he's, you know, 18 touchdowns, 13, 14 picks, no chance. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But I do have optimism based on the addition of a veteran quarterback coming off a great year and additional offensive weapons. My concern still lies with the offensive line, because Larry missed most of the offseason with a knee, and I think he'll be fine. But I got to see Jared Valdir play well. You know, I mean, I don't know that. I know they like him at right tackle, but I got to see that. And if that's a carousel again, what does that look like? And so I want to see in camp right away in those first few weeks, what is the line going to look like? Because all this other stuff kind of spins off that. I know they're going to change their pass blocking schemes to help the linemen, but where's the line going to stand? How's that going to look?
Yeah, that will be an interesting aspect to it. There's also a bunch of question marks we've had at the running back. Who's going to be that slot receiver? Have we fixed those issues? But one of the biggest ones we've had here the last couple of years, because of a lack of production, the tight end position, you know, we're relying on A.J. Derby to be our go-to guy. Now with Jake Butt, what you've seen, and I understand they're not in pads, but what you saw this spring, optimism, do you think he can fill that role, and do you think he can be a great matchup tight end?
I do, you know, and again, maybe it's kind of that, you know, that self-fulfilling prophecy. You see the talent and you just, you know, if you talk it into existence, Mark, like this guy should be able to do it. He should, but in practice, this guy's got shimmy at the top of routes. He's got great hands. He competes and he's, you know, he's a sponge for information. I just don't understand why he can't be a Hunter Henry type where he could catch 35, 40 passes and score 4 touchdowns as a rookie and maybe, you know, 5 or 6 the next year. And if he can get to that 4 or 5 number, all of a sudden they've got a weapon in the red zone that they did not have. Last year, teams could bracket and isolate on Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas because, frankly, the Broncos had no threat in the center of the field. And if Jake Butt can become that threat along with a slot guy, then the offense, Mike talks about the offense, the optimism, then it looks different. Instead of, if DT's not open or Emmanuel's not open and this against the zone coverage, well, no chance, kick field goal. So I really like the potential of Jake Butt. I think he's got a chance to be good as a rookie and be a red zone threat early in his career. So we'll see. Again, I got to see in pads, but what I've seen on the practice field is the guy who can get open and who can catch the football with his great hands.
Troy, was that Rockies loss yesterday so horrendous that even the Rockies, who are known for trying to stay the course, will have no choice but to shake things up?
Oh, they have to. I mean, that was beyond a cry for help for the bullpen yesterday. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. I mean, that's the crowbar to the shins, the heart and the blenders, you name it. I mean, on Father's Day, they have a bullpen only a mother could love. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You can't put Shaw in a game with the lead. I've lost understanding of that. You can't use him with the lead right now. And I don't know what you do. He should be a mop-up guy right now until he gets his mechanics straight. I get Bud Black doesn't have options. Bud knows way more about pitching than I do. I would never have Shaw with the lead right now. The other thing is, when Davis started going off the rails, and listen, Wade Davis has proven it. He's been one of the best in the last 3 years. He had nothing yesterday. When it got to 12 to 10, I'm getting Hoffman hot. Like, you're coming in this game because Davis, it wasn't like he was getting squeezed. He was missing by feet, not inches. And I know that it was a helpless feeling. I get it. It's your closer. So that's less of the issue. But until, guys, they have something beyond Ottavino underneath Davis as an option, they're dead. And so that's why I keep saying, bring up Senzatella. I would, at this point, I've seen enough, I would move Gray to the bullpen, make him my eighth inning guy, move Senzatella to the rotation, and now I've got Hoffman, Gray, and Ottavino in the back end of the bullpen, maybe just to the All-Star break and figure it out. Because they can't win the way it's constructed right now. They can't win the way it's constructed.
Well, there's no question about that, and that's what we've been talking about as well, moving Gray. Gray profiles better as a kind of a two-pitch guy, and you know, that slider is just kind of an okay slider. Dominant fastball, he just profiles better as a bullpen guy to me.
Well, I don't think they'll do it because they're limited on the starting pitch. I'm just saying that now's the time for drastic measure. Now's the time. So if you think Gray could do it or Senzatella could do it, if you bring up Senzatella and then put him in with Hoffman at the back end, at least you're bringing guys to a 95 to 100 with at least one secondary pitch. I mean, Russin has struggled. Shaw has struggled. Dunn has struggled. Davis, that yesterday's hiccup. But, I mean, their bullpen is the second worst in the National League, in Major League Baseball. I mean, if now isn't the time to sound the alarm, when is? And he gave all the games back to the Dodgers, Giants, and Diamondbacks, and you can't win at home. So if they can't get on track at home with a refangled bullpen, I mean, you're going to go into the All-Star break 10 out, and that's no place to be.
All right, Troy. Great stuff as always. Thank you.
You got it. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7, Broncos and Rockies insider, brought to you by Tranny Law. Have you or someone you know been charged with a DUI? Call for a free consultation at 303-333-1816 or TRANILaw.com. Don't forget question mark coming up here at 8 o'clock. So if you have a specific question for Mark that you want answered, send it in on the RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. Look, I get it. You know, we're a football town first and foremost, and so when it comes to the other teams, you want to see moves and an urgency made like you approach football, right? Hey, I mean, there's only 16 weeks. You know, you can't let this stuff fester too long. Well, I guess you can. You can still send Isaiah McKenzie out to record.
Right.
All right, well, scrap that. Pay no attention to that. But you know what I'm saying? That people are conditioned to the idea of, hey, these games matter. You can't let the status quo go too long. But Mark, for you and everybody who is clamoring for the Rockies to make changes, I just don't see it happen. I think their thinking is that, look, we've gone through a stretch here in the first part of the season where this bullpen, made up of guys that have proven track records that we paid for, haven't produced. We got a lineup, again, made up of guys that we've paid for, but who also have track records on the back of their baseball cards that haven't yet performed. And yet, despite all of that, here we are in the middle of June, and we're only 5 games out of first place. They do not feel that kind of urgency to do anything right now because of all the things that haven't gone well that they thought would happen, haven't happened, and yet they're still only a handful of games out of first place. I just don't think that they feel the urgency to blow it up yet.
I guess my question would be, and you know, you've said it earlier, and you're 100% right. I come from such a football mentality where it's always, you know, you lose one game and it's panic, you know, all hands on deck, and you know, it's just panic stricken. So that's kind of the world that I've always lived in, and this whole thing, you know, this whole thing of stay the course, it's going to be okay, the guy will eventually, you know, play himself back into kind of contention. I just, at some point, Mike, you've got to make a move. Like, I think You know, baseball's really interesting this way, and the Rockies are interesting this way. Hey, stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. It's going to be okay. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. And then all of a sudden, it's middle of August, and you're 12 games out. And then you know what it is? It's, well, that didn't work. We'll get them next year. And that's what, that's my fear, is that you're going to stay the course right up to the point where it's going to be, well, that's too bad that that didn't work out, and now we're done. And that's what I don't want to happen. Like, that's why I'm kind of like, hey, guys, and Troy was on the same page as me. I mean, Troy covered baseball forever, so he's seen this. If not now, when? Because if you continue to wait, I mean, come on. Do you think you're going to, you know, you haven't played well. You got the Mets coming into town. You haven't played well at home. And do you think all of a sudden you're just going to right the ship and you're going to rip off 8 of 10? I mean, is that what you think is going to happen?
You're asking me what I would do versus what I think they'll do. What I would invent an injury for Brian Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
Put him on the DL. Look, you're going to go clear your head for about 15 days. Okay? And then when we come back, you're going to go on a rehab assignment, you know, down in the minors, which is just another way for us to send you down to the minors to get your head right and your game right again. That's what I would do. I would do a lot of these things, but I'm telling you what the baseball mentality is. And it's one of, look, we had a game plan going into this season. It was a sound plan, and we're not going to blow it all up on June 18th when we're only five games out of first place.
Well, I would say then look at the history and look at other teams and what they're doing. Who was our closer last year? Do you remember our closer last year who was an all-star?
Yeah, Greg Holland.
Yeah. You know where I saw him pitch yesterday?
Where? Is he?
Or not yesterday, the day before.
Where? What happened to him? What's he doing?
Well, he signed with St. Louis. He's had some injuries. He didn't pitch very well. You know what they did? They put him on the DL. And you know where I saw him pitch?
Arkansas?
Double A, Springfield, Missouri. That's where he's pitching right now.
Right.
Now, his rehab assignment is in Triple A. Double A, Springfield, Missouri gave up a home run, too. So, that's the St. Louis Cardinals. I do believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong, but I do believe they have a little bit more gravitas in the baseball.
Yes, they're a real
flipping Cardinals.
They're a real baseball organization that does make themselves accountable. They're not a stay the course type franchise.
Right. Greg Holland is a guy that's got a proven track record. Greg Holland was an all-star closer last year for the Colorado Rockies. And guess what? DL, go get your head right. We're going to put you in a rehab assignment, not in Triple A, in Double A. Figure it out, dude.